We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, the very last verse of the epistle, Paul says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is Trinity Sunday, but it is not a celebration of a doctrine. It is the celebration of our personal and loving God. It's a celebration of how he relates to us. It's a celebration of how he reveals himself to us. Many will argue that the word Trinity is not found anywhere in Holy Scripture. It's not. They'll argue that the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, is not explicated anywhere in Holy Scripture. It's not. But the revelation of the Holy Trinity, the revelation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is throughout. And people have argued Jesus never said anything about the Holy Trinity. But if you read or heard the gospel just now, the Great Commission, Matthew's gospel, what does Jesus tell his disciples to do? Go into all the world, making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But this epistle, this final word that Paul gives to the church of Corinth, it emphasizes how we know God and how we relate to him. In this simple statement, we witness his revelation of himself to us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. But understanding the Holy Trinity begins with the incarnation. It's interesting that Paul, when he gives this Trinitarian formula at the end of 2 Corinthians, he puts Jesus first. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. Okay. There's a reason for that. As a matter of fact, if you read all of St. Paul's epistles, every one of them, except Romans, ends with "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Romans, he gets a little wordy, okay? And in this one, he says "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." But he always wants to bestow, as it were, the grace of Christ on his church. So Paul places the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, first. And if you'll look at John chapter 1 in verses 14 and 16, go to the prologue of John, where he's talking about the Word made flesh, Jesus. And he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And how did he dwell among us? Full of grace and truth. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And then in the next, in verse 16, "And from his fullness," that fullness of grace, "from that fullness we have all received grace upon grace." So this idea that the Trinity, that the grace of God made manifest in the second person of the Trinity, comes from the very beginning, from the incarnation, the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. But as I was reading that, as I was looking at this, actually, I was sitting in the back pew on Wednesday night last week, waiting for the rector's council service to begin. And Father David walked in, and I had just finished reading that 2 Corinthians verse, And it was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I turned to David and I said, I'm reading it. And I was reading it in the Greek. He reads Greek, so it worked out okay. I said, look at that, look at that, look at that. And he looked at it and he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, well, what does that mean? Think about that, folks. If Jesus Christ has been given to us in the incarnation, and we are full of grace because grace upon grace has been bestowed upon us, what does it mean when Paul says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you? It's already there. Oh, wait a minute. What's he saying? The incarnate Jesus, the incarnate God, be with you. Because as a saint, he'll love that. I got to tell him about that. Bishop Jones, St. Charles. Anyway, okay, anyway. He says that grace is a person. And he's right. It is the person of Jesus Christ. And so when we are being, as it were, graced by his presence, then that's what it means for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be with us. Are you with me? Does it make it sense? Are we okay? Everybody all right? All right. Grace is a person, the second person of the Trinity. He is the incarnate God. He is the present reality with us. He is the grace who is with us and in us. I also, when I was doing my homework, as it were, for the sermon, I ran across an interesting thing in Kittle's Theological Dictionary, and that is that charis, which is grace in Greek, comes from the same root as kairo, which is rejoice. Okay. So grace is what delights us. Grace is what fills us with joy. We get the joy of the Lord when the grace of God is with us. When I was in seminary, they had hired a curate at my home church, Tommy Hightower. And one of the times I went home and I was visiting my home church, Tommy and I were sitting down and he was talking to me about sermon preparation. He said, it is so hard. I'm glad we have a lectionary, but it's just so difficult because I'll open the Bible and I'll read it. Oh, that's the grace of God. And then I'll look at the epistle and I'll go, oh, that's the grace of God. And then I'll go to the Old Testament. Oh, that's the grace of God. It's the same sermon every Sunday. Well, you guys get the same sermon every Sunday, too. It's the relationship sermon, and that's what this one is, okay? It's the relationship sermon. But the grace of God permeates every word that God puts forth in his written word, in his incarnate word, in the Holy Spirit speaking to us, in the prophetic word, in the words of wisdom. It's the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. That free gift, unearned and undeserved for all of us wretched sinners. But it's there by the grace of God. And it's so important for us to recognize it and acknowledge it. When Miranda and I had the grace to be able to go to Mepkin Abbey last month, gosh, that was a whole month ago now. Yep, it was. Anyway, we went to Mepkin Abbey. We had a wonderful week there. But one of the real highlights, it's kind of strange, but one of the real highlights was on the last night, we went down to the river just as the sun was setting and to watch the sunset over the Cooper River. And I got a fabulous picture of that, but it was just so dramatic and so wonderful. And we both just turned to each other like, wow, that's the grace of God. Yeah. That was just awesome. But it was trumped, if you'll excuse the word. Sad that that word is sad. Anyway, when we got to Murrell's Inlet, where were we?
Garden.
Garden City, thank you. On the beach, And we had a condominium that was literally on the beach, overlooking the Atlantic. And on May 5th, that was a full moon, and we saw this red band just on the horizon. And neither one of us were clicking on the fact that there was going to be a full moon that night. But we were looking at that, and I was going, "What is that? A cruise ship? What is that out there?" But it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and then suddenly we realized, "Oh my God, that's the moon!" And it's just this huge, bright orb. Again, just the grace of God. Great. And Miranda said it had some really fabulous colors with it too. Oh, just wonderful. She didn't get up early enough to see the sunrises either, but those were also the grace of God. But what's so neat is if you just see these moments as gifts, they're God's favor being rested on you. You had an experience on your 25th anniversary down at Ocracoke. You had the grace of God over and over again, didn't you, down there?
Yeah, I can't remember all of them.
Yeah.
We found the seashell.
But you recognized it
Yeah.
for what it was. That's what's so important, recognizing that these little gifts are God's rich way of speaking to us about His grace and His love for us. Sitting in my gazebo, just praying, it's the grace of God, knowing the favor of God upon us. All right, enough about that. Anyway, establishing our relationship with the Godhead is an acceptance, as it were, that He loved us enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to us in the flesh. That He was born for us, that He died for us, that He rose again for us, and that He sent His Holy Spirit. And we cannot have that grace without the incarnate grace being with us. In the same way, we cannot have the love of God without the author of love being with us, God the Father. In 1 John chapter 4, John talks a lot. I started to say ad nauseum, but I don't want, that's not right. Anyway, he talks a lot about love. As a matter of fact, when Miranda will announce that when we're doing evening prayer or something, she'll say, First Epistle of John, chapter 4, and I go, love, 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 love. Because that's what he says. He just talks about love for a whole chapter, which is a good thing, Mike. But in verse 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The very thing that holds the Trinity together, you've got three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What binds these three persons together is the nature of God, which is love. It's the perfect love relationship. You know, when we do a wedding, we say that the two are bound together. The two have become one, right? Well, in this case, it's the three have become one. And what is it that binds the two together? Love. What is it that binds the three together? Love. And it's love that comes from the Father, for God is love. The Trinity is that perfect love relationship. He is love. And everything he does is love. And love is who he is. Okay? I don't know how many different ways to say that. Leave it to St. John. He's good at that. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And mind you, these aren't ranked. First being the Father, the second being the Son, the third being the Holy Spirit. It's just numerical, just to give us the idea of the three persons. They are equal in glory. If you don't believe me, read the Athanasian Creed, okay? If you've got an afternoon. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he is not an it. You said that last week, didn't you? Yeah, you did say that last week. Anyway, he is not an it. He is a person. He is not a facet of God's nature. That you all may remember, those of you who are old enough, remember James Pike. Bishop of San Francisco, and he argued against the Trinity. He denounced the Trinity, sadly, in Holy Trinity Episcopal Church in San Francisco. But he renounced the Trinity, saying that it can't be three gods because the Holy Spirit is not a person. He's just what binds God's nature. And No. The Holy Spirit is a person. He comes to us. He relates to us. He gives us his love made manifest in us individually and in the congregation as a whole. He is a person with whom we are invited to have fellowship. And most of you are probably familiar with the Greek term koinonia. Everybody heard the word koinonia? Okay, koinonia. That Greek word means a two-sided relationship. You and I have koinonia because we relate to one another. We have fellowship with one another. I speak to you, you listen, you hear. You speak to me, I listen, I hear, you respond, I respond, we hug each other. Hey, we have fellowship. That's what koinonia is. It's a relationship. I told you this was the relationship sermon, okay? It's relationship with a person. There's give and take. You cannot have fellowship, though, without the fellow. You cannot have fellowship without the presence of God being with us. It's not true fellowship because it's not born in love and it's not filled with grace, which are very important for understanding how it all works together. The Holy Spirit has fellowship with us in order to empower us to have a loving relationship with God and to have a loving relationship with one another. God's love and God's grace dwell in us because we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. All right, so what does all of this mean, folks? What does it mean to have grace and the love and the fellowship of God? It means that God is with us. The Trinity is not just a doctrine, it is a promise. It is a promise that God will be with us in his grace, that God is always with us in his love, and God desires and facilitates fellowship so that we might know him always and in all ways. We are empowered by his grace. We are gifted in his love, and we have fellowship with him now and into eternity. Amen.